Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football exclusive.
Back at it again. It's another season and another show. RIC in the place to be. That's me, your host, Chris Maricella. And with me, I've got Mark Sandell, Ralph Santini. Say hello to the people.
Welcome to the machine, people. I got the fever. Woo!
That's right. Football season's right around the corner. Today is Sunday, August 30th, something
around
like
there.
And I smell fall in the air. We're here in New York City today. We have Fantasy Insiders Radio Show. We're going to be here each and every week with you throughout the season. Programming note, we will actually be on 8:30 to 10 a.m. each and every Sunday on the Fantasy Sports Channel, so make note of that. We rearranged things a little bit today just to get it situated, but what we're going to do is preview and break down the things you need to know heading into the fantasy football season. Before we do, let's get a little bit of introduction from Ross Mandell over here. How is the preseason treating you, sir?
The preseason is treating me well. I just hope we've heard the last of the Brett Favre saga. That's all I can say.
Oh, Ralph got his purple Favre jersey on over here. Last year was a green one. This year it's a purple one. Ralph, what's going on with the preseason? What are you watching?
Again, I always watch for the same thing. I watch for the rookies. I like to see, you know, which rookie is emerging, how they fit into the new team. I'm liking what I'm seeing so far from Mark Sanchez. Donald Brown's looking okay, and actually P.J. Hill looked pretty well.
Hey, now.
He did a pretty nice job for the Saints last night, so I'm looking at it.
Who didn't in the crate, baby.
Who didn't do a good job for the Saints last night.
All right, well, if you want to dial in, our number here is 347-945-6275. Taking your questions, also getting down in the chat room. Got some people over there. Rams fan, you're in for a long season, my friend. Mark Bolger, a.k.a. Baba Booey, not looking too good this year.
Kyle Bowler should be starting. I'm telling you right now.
All right, guys, let's get right into it now. And, you know, we're going to rewind. We all know about the offseason signings. Now that we've had two or three preseason games to kind of take a look and see how they fit into their teams respectively, let's talk about the top three offseason moves made in terms of fantasy impact. I'm going to start it off with you, the Reverend.
Well, you know, you have to say that Tony Gonzalez going to Atlanta Falcons is a huge move. I think that opens things up for Atlanta, makes life a lot easier for Matt Ryan. The other big story out here is, in my opinion, the firing of Mike Martz as offensive coordinator in San Francisco. I think that is going to make life a lot easier for Mr. Frank Gore. I see a big season up ahead for him. And also what's going to help him out is the return of fullback Moran Norris. Also, the drafting of Donald Brown for the Indianapolis Colts, I think he's already better than Joseph Addai. I thought this was a great move on the part of Indy. And also, you have to say that the Jay Cutler signing is also a great big move. I should say the Jay Cutler trade.
Donald Brown ranked as the fifth overall prospect by the NFL Draft Bible. A lot of people emailed us about that. We shall see. The kid looks legit. I love him. I think he might be one of the top five players in the league. But let's go over to Ross Mandell for his top offseason fantasy moves. Hit up.
Yeah, I'm going to have to echo what Rev said about Jay Cutler, and I think that really helps Devin Hester's value a great deal in Chicago. I'm not that high on Cutler season, but I'm high on effect in Chicago as far as Olsen and Hester are concerned. Rev mentioned Donald Brown. I'll mention Knowshon Moreno in Denver. I think that's a huge pickup for the Broncos. I think, really, he's going to get a lot of work this year. And I think he's going to post some decent fantasy
numbers. But
he's
already hurt, though.
No, he's not hurt that bad.
Is he even going to be – I don't think he's going to be the starter. He missed all the preseason.
No, he missed all preseason. He's going to be a few weeks behind.
Jordan's in the mix.
Other than Peyton Hillis, he's really the only dependable back they're going to have.
Well, Buckholzer's going to start the season.
Nah, how long is that going to last? How long is it ever last with Corral? I'm telling you guys,
Knowshon
Moreno.
Where's drafting Knowshon Moreno?
Oh, boy, I don't know. I take him as a third running back right now. And maybe, you know, depending on how well he heals, depending on how the Broncos go.
I agree with you if he's healthy.
Well, to me, I think he's going to take a little time to get going. But in Denver, they're not going to have a lot of excitement. I mean, I think they're going to need to use a guy like that. Also, you know, let's talk about, you know, three receivers that have changed addresses. T.O., I don't see his stats changing much. In fact, I don't see any of these guys' stats changing all that much. T.O., T.J. Houshmandzadeh, and Torrey Holt. Although Torrey Holt's stats could take a nice bump because he's actually going to have a real off quarterback to play with.
I don't really like any one of those wide receivers. I think they're all going to decline.
Decline? You think T.O.? Well, I mean, look at
you talk about Terrell Owens hasn't even played a game with Trent Edwards yet. That's kind of hard for him going into the season with no timing. I mean, I just don't see that as being a good mix.
Well, he did play in the first game against the Tennessee Titans.
And he's healthy now.
And he did look okay in that little snippet over there. So, and I'll hold off on T.O. I think, as Ross said, I think his numbers should be right about the same.
Yeah, I mean, you don't think all three of those guys could go 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns?
I think Torrey Holt's best days are behind him.
I do, too.
I don't know. I don't see 1,000 yards for him.
Well, I do.
T.J. Houshmandzadeh, I think, is going to be a free agent bust.
I agree with you there.
I disagree with you.
I think
you guys are
the hard way, the reality of being the benefit of being the number two guy.
He doesn't have a team around him.
I think you guys are way down on Seattle. I'm not.
Okay.
All right, well, you know, you're tuned into the Fantasy Football Insiders crew. I got the Reverend Ralph Mancini, Rostradamus, Ross Mandel. You know these guys from the NFL Draft Bible, Daily Dose, hitting you with hard-hitting news analysis each and every day. I am Rick Saratello. We're going to get right into it. Chat room is open, guys. If you got some fantasy questions, you want to dial in 347-945-6275. I know the football guys, Cecil Lammy, Sigmund Bloom, did a great Talkathon Marathon fundraiser yesterday. Definitely, you know, go back, check out that show and the whole marathon, really. And we're going to be here all season, Fantasy Sports Channel, 8:30 to 10 a.m. Mark that on your calendars. But let's talk a little bit. You know, we talked about the top off-season moves. Let's talk about some of the underrated moves that transpired during the off-season. And, again, we've had about 3 weeks of the preseason now to analyze it. So let's start it off with Ross Mandel for his underrated fantasy signings.
All right. I know the guy hasn't done a lot in preseason, but he doesn't really need to as far as I'm concerned. I like the flying under the radar of Lavernius Coles in Cincinnati.
Yes.
Carson Palmer can stay on the field for more than a game. Come on, Palmer, get with it. Look, I think he's worth the number three wide receiver pick, Coles.
Mm-hmm.
He's replacing Houshmandzadeh, but he's not a number one threat. I could easily see Ralph's former boy, Coles, going 900 yards, 7 touchdowns, playing off Ocho Cinco and Chris Henry. I think there's room there.
I agree, and I was actually able to snatch him up for $1 in the Dynasty auction draft at the end of the draft.
Nice.
I snatched up Lavernius Coles
for
$1.
He's a guy who's going to be underdrafted in your league because of how well Chris Henry and how loud Ocho Cinco is.
I just like the way he fits into that offense because Chad Ocho Cinco is a deep threat, as is Chris Henry.
Yep.
So you need a receiver to do the dirty work, go across the middle, make those tough catches, convert those third and fours, third and fives, and I think that's what Lavernius Coles brings to the table.
I think he's a Carson Palmer kind of receiver, if that makes any sense. Another underrated, and you know, now we got two guys that I'm not a big fan of, but I got to give them their due as far as being underrated here. Kellen Winslow Jr., I think he's going to be under – I think he's underdrafted. I think he's underrated. And quite honestly, I don't think it's too crazy to say that he could post the same numbers as Tony Gonzalez this season.
I agree. Questionable suspect quarterback situation. He's going to be a security blanket
there.
He's
going to be the featured receiver.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, a guy like that thinks he has something to prove. I think he's clearly their number two choice there in Tampa Bay as far as receivers go. And I could see him 900 yards, 7 touchdowns. I could see that happening. And the third guy I'm going to give you here, I've never liked him, but I think this signing is flying under the radar, and I think he's a nice late-round pickup, and that's Edgerrin James in Seattle.
Ooh, the edge.
For whatever reason, they're not giving Forsett a chance. I can't stand Julius Jones. I can't imagine that he's going to have a productive season. I could see the edge running for, you know, 650 yards and 4 or 5 touchdowns. And in a pinch with injuries and bye weeks, I think he could be a decent late-round flyer.
Talking about underrated moves transpiring during the offseason, I'm going to turn it over to the Reverend Ralph Mancini.
I'm going to agree with Ross on Lavernius Coles. And also, two other underrated signings, in my opinion, have been made by the same team. I'm talking about the New England Patriots that went out there with two grizzled veterans in Fred Taylor, who I think adds a lot of stability in that backfield. You know, if you've watched Lawrence Maroney play, he looks like he's doing his Gregory Hines routine, tap, 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 not hitting the hole. Don't like him. I like Fred Taylor much better. Sammy Morris, a nice goal line back, but tends to get injured a lot. Fred Taylor will be getting a lot of carries up north. And the other move I like here, underlining, is the signing of Joey Galloway. I think he's going to be open all night in that offense in New England with Randy Moss and Wes Welker. I think Joey Galloway is going to make some big plays in New England.
I haven't really heard much about Joey Galloway during the preseason. You guys been keeping tabs on him?
He's made a couple of catches.
So we're basically looking at Jabbar Gaffney type of role in New England there.
I'd say if he's lucky.
I think he's a little bit faster than Gaffney, so I think we could see a few more big plays out of him.
Huh.
I think Wes Welker is more that Jabbar Gaffney type of receiver.
You know, you mentioned Fred Taylor. That kind of brings me back to the early Patriots Super Bowl days when they had Antoine Smith. Nobody was expecting much from him.
Yes.
I can see Fred Taylor playing that type of role. You know, again, you know, everyone's always so quick to count that guy out. And it seems to, like, light a fire under him.
Again, what would you rather have, Maroney or Taylor? I'm taking Taylor.
I agree.
I think I would go with Maroney, but I don't really want either one of them. I don't like the multiple backfield there with none of them really with the potential to score huge fantasy.
Well, obviously, this is going to be a guy you take at the end of the draft. You pick him up as a fourth running back, and I think that you could use him during a lot of weeks.
Don't forget about my man, Kyle Echol.
All right, guys,
you tuned in to the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. I am Rick Serratella. I'm joined by the Daily Dose Boys, Ralph Mancini, Ross Mandel. We're going to be bringing you the heat each and every Sunday morning, 8:30 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Start your Sunday mornings with us. I guarantee you a ring at the end of the season. If not, you can email me. And I'll refund your entry fee.
Oh, mid-season four, baby.
All right, guys. Let's talk about the top three stories heading into the regular season. In other words, we got weeks of the preseason in the books, and we are now heading into the start of the regular season. Actually, these guys are going to point out my mistake. We're going off a rundown here. We talked about underrated. We're going to stick to that theme. We'll go overrated, and then we'll get to the storyline. So thank you, guys. Overrated guys, fantasy signings during the offseason. Talk to me, Reverend.
I'm going to go with Matt Castle here for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, he's going to a team that obviously doesn't have as much talent as the New England Patriots, but the other thing that I'm worried about is behind New England's line, which is better than Kansas City's, he was sacked 47 times. He led the league in that department in that statistic. So I think that he's going to have a hard time staying upright with the Kansas City Chiefs. And now you're hearing that he suffered an injury. So I don't like this Matt Castle move as much as some other people do. I think it's an overrated move. Also, Derek Ward was brought in to solidify the Tampa Bay Bucks running game. I think that this is an overrated move, not because I don't like Derek Ward as a back, but because I think that he was running behind the best offensive line in football with the New York Giants. Now he moves to a team that's going to go to a three-headed running back system there with Ernest Graham and with Cadillac Williams. Maybe Clifton Smith might get some time as well, and I can easily see Ernest Graham getting the goal line carries. So I think he's being overdrafted. And then number three, a guy that we mentioned before is T.J. Houshmandzadeh. He was acquired to take Seattle back to the postseason. I don't think it's happening. Walter Jones is already out. Sean Locklear is banged up. And I think it's only a matter of time before Matt Hasselbeck goes down. He doesn't have the team around him for him to have a really top-notch, successful year. So I'm not too crazy about T.J. Houshmandzadeh going to the Seahawks.
Ralph, you mentioned the who was your second one?
It was Derek Ward.
Yeah, you mentioned the Tampa Bay running back situation. I want to pick your brain on that one for a second because this is a big dilemma for fantasy football owners. You know, you got that running back by committee situation. You know, you had Ernest Graham, then they signed Derek Ward. Now, all of a sudden, Cadillac is ready to, you know, for a tune-up. I mean, how do you unwinding of the three? Who has the most fantasy value? Who's going to have the most yards? Who's going to have the most touchdowns? What do you see? How do you see that unfolding during the season?
Well, I can definitely see Ward getting more yards than the other backs, but I don't think it's going to be that much more. And then in addition to that, you have to keep in mind that Ernest Graham is a very good short yardage type of back, so that might be taking a few goal line carries away from Mr. Ward. And I'm seeing where he's being drafted in some drafts. He's being taken in the fourth round, in the fifth round. To me, he's a guy that you should grab maybe in the 12th round, the 13th round instead.
Russ, before you give us your overrated players, how do you see that Tampa Bay running back situation playing out there?
Well, perfect segue because Ward heads my list of overrated players. Look, they're using three backs, and frankly, Williams and Graham have looked better in the preseason. To me right now, Derek Ward looks like a third down pass receiving running back. I can't see him topping 600 yards rushing as it's currently constituted in Tampa Bay. Maybe 300 yards receiving, maybe four touchdowns. But again, that's maybe. And, you know, you got three guys there. Williams is actually looking really good. I've been very impressed. I don't think he's a bad fantasy player. I just think he's being drafted way too highly.
You using a fantasy pick on any one of those players?
Never. Bad three-headed running back committee on a bad offensive team, not a chance. My second overrated fantasy player is on a very good offense, but I don't think his stats are going to keep up with what we're used to, and that's Tony Gonzalez in Atlanta. I think he's going to help the offense, but I think his stats are going to suffer. Look, he's still among the best tight ends. He might even be the best fantasy tight end still. But if he is, the gap has closed, and there has been a large gap between him and the rest of the field. He's not going to have last year's numbers, despite people thinking that because he's on a better offense in Atlanta than he was in Kansas City, that his numbers are going to improve. It's not the case. I think he's in for a 900-yard, six-touchdown type of season. Again, it's not bad, but it's not justifying where he's being drafted in drafts that I've seen so far. He's being way overdrafted. And my third guy is Jay Cutler. He's going to take a huge fantasy hit. I know people are high in the Bears. He had bits in Denver. He might be on a better team now, but his fantasy numbers are going to dramatically decline. He threw for 4,500 yards last year. Don't be surprised if he barely reaches 3,000 this season.
Wow.
That's a third less, guys.
Well, significant drop.
Well, wait a second. He had 4,500 yards, but only had 25 touchdowns.
That's correct.
So how many touchdowns do you see him having this year?
That's going to drop off by at least a quarter. He's not going to throw more than 20 touchdowns.
Not more than 20?
I can't see it. I can't see it in Chicago. He's being overdrafted. Look, if his yards go down by a third, do you guys think it's crazy to say he can throw for 3,100 yards?
Well, okay, let's see. We were talking about this before we came on the air, and I have to ask you then, so between Jay Cutler and Kyle Orton, who's a better fantasy option after hearing that analysis?
I think Cutler's a better fantasy option, but it's not by that much. Not by the fantasy option. It's not that much. Orton throws too many interceptions. You know, he could go 19 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, and that's not going to help you all that much.
You know, I'm not the biggest Jay Cutler fan myself, but he is head and shoulders above Kyle Orton. And look, even though Cutler's not consistent, he's going to have those games where he just goes crazy.
I don't think he is in Chicago.
Well, I think what's going to happen maybe is he's going to try to make too much happen and put too much on his shoulders and try to, you know, overcompensate for not having the supporting cast. He's still a young, immature guy who doesn't want to listen to anybody. So I could see a lot of mistakes, especially with wide receivers that don't have too much experience. I mean, you're throwing out there Earl Bennett because it was his teammate at Vanderbilt. I mean, has this guy actually proven anything?
Did they win the SEC?
I'd be a little concerned.
Okay. I think we all agree he's not a number one quarterback, fantasy quarterback, but I think he makes a pretty decent number two type of quarterback. If you plug him in, like, against the Detroit Lions,
well,
you think that's a good matchup?
Where, in fantasy drafts, you got to draft him like he's a starter.
He's being drafted as a starting quarterback every mock draft I've seen.
What round are we talking about? Eighth round? Ninth round?
Seventh or eighth round?
Yeah. If you can get him as a number two in the eighth or ninth round, I can see this pick being okay. But if you're going to depend on him each and every week, then I agree. I wouldn't be too wild about Jay Cutler.
I don't think saying that he's going to throw for maybe 3,100 yards is that crazy. And that's a third less than what he did last year. That's a significant fantasy drop off. And I don't think his stats and Orton's are going to be that different this season, guys.
Well, I'm going to tell you my most overrated move during the offseason is none other than Mr. Brett Favre. and we went 20 minutes without a Brett Favre mention. But I got to tell you, this guy's a bum. It's like nobody watched the games last season. You know, this guy makes terrible decisions. I can guarantee you right now he's going to have more interceptions than games played, probably more interceptions than touchdowns. Nobody bothered to watch any Jets games last season. The guy does not have the cannon arm like he used to, and he cannot compensate now for his poor decision. Poor decision-making, doesn't have a cannon arm like he used to make up for that stupid, dumb, idiotic throws into coverage. Expect terrible things from Brett Favre and expect an in-season benching. I said it, Tavarius Jackson will be the starting quarterback before you know it.
Well, I'll let Mr. Jet deal with this one.
All I have to say is he might not have the cannon arm, but he is a loose cannon on the field.
20 touchdowns, 20 picks. Those
are
Brett Favre's numbers.
Right. So, you know, your touchdowns are going to be offset by interceptions. And going back, you know, I didn't give you guys an underrated player. I'm going to throw a player out there that nobody mentioned. Kelly Washington. Mm-hmm. This guy, I like what he's doing out there in Baltimore. Their wide receivers are a little dinged up. That's a signing that was under the radar. The guy can play ball. He's a deep threat. And I could see Joe Flacco and Kelly Washington hooking up for a couple bombs during the season.
The best thing I could say about him is I love his quarterback.
There you go.
I agree with you, Rev. I actually like Flacco this season, but I think Washington could be a sneaky, very late round pick.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, why not? All right, guys, back to winning, and that's the three stories that we're watching heading into the season. Like I said earlier, you know, we've got about 3 weeks of the preseason out of the way. So what are the major storylines now that during this final week of preseason going into the season that we should keep an eye on early during the season? I'll let you have at this one first, Ralph.
Well, to me, I think it's just fascinating to see what's going on out in Denver. The question surrounding the Denver Broncos and Brandon Marshall, you know, you have a malcontent there. He's not getting what he wants. He hasn't received that new contract. He wants to be traded. Now he's refusing. He's being petulant. He's refusing to practice and play nice with everybody else. So what happens here? In my opinion, the Denver Broncos are going to be a bad team with him and a bad team without him. I wouldn't move him. I wouldn't trade him. You're setting a bad precedent if you do. They already did with trading Jay Cutler. But in this case, they need to put their foot down. And they need to let him know that, you know, they're not taking any of his mess. Number two story here that I'm keeping an eye on is what's going to go on in Philadelphia with Donovan McNabb. Mm. You already saw.
I love it.
You saw McNabb get a little testy there with Michael Vick already.
Got no rhythm.
Yeah, yeah. He wanted his snaps. He wasn't happy with Vick getting all those snaps. I want to see what happens there. We all know that McNabb is the most oversensitive player in the NFL, and he doesn't deal well with competition, with adversity. Number three, Brett Favre. We mentioned it already. Signs with the Minnesota Vikings. I want to see if the coach, Brad Childress, actually has the courage to take him out of a ball game and to bench him. Eric Mangini wouldn't do that last year. I want to see if Childress actually puts his foot down.
Well, interesting.
I think Childress is going to be bagging groceries next season.
I think, you know, Favre went from a bad coach to one of the few coaches that's actually worse than Mangini, as far as I'm concerned. Childress is terrible. My three, I'll read off to you about Vic and the Eagles. That game Friday night, man, I'm telling you, McNabb was not happy. He basically made the coaching staff take Vic out of the game. You've got to be kidding
me. Well, he was signaling to the coaches.
Yeah,
he was, you
kill
know,
it.
Kill
enough
it.
Of this.
You know,
enough
he
of
no
this.
Rhythm, you know? And the fans were actually booing McNabb by the third quarter.
Donovan McNabb is one of the few people who are whiny enough to make Michael Vick come across as the good guy in Philadelphia. People are like, oh, why are you doing this to him? He's trying so hard. He's trying to get his life back together. McNabb is not going to like having to share anything, the spotlight, reps, the field, the ball, practice time, conversations with his friends on the team. This is, as I said when it first was mentioned, this is going to be a disaster
for
Philadelphia.
However, they didn't bring Vic to Philly for him to be Mr. Wildcat. I think eventually he is going to be the starter, and I think McNabb knows that. Not this season, but eventually. And I think McNabb knows that, and he's feeling the heat.
Well, what does it do to McNabb's fantasy stock?
I think I move him down a couple
of times. I move him down because they're going to put Vic in for a few plays. So
from a top five to a top 10 guy.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, he would start the bottom toward my top 10. I don't know. I don't like what's going on in Philadelphia right now, but I'll tell you this. It's going to be very interesting and very entertaining.
Especially with those fans.
To watch. That was the number one thing, that Vic going there with those fans, something has to give. If McNabb starts off poorly, I cannot wait to listen to Philly sports radio if that happens. My second story, I got to go with Tom Brady. Can he be Tom Brady again? Can he throw, as the Rev predicts, 40 touchdown passes this season?
If healthy.
And, you know, I don't know, you know, look, Belichick's not going to come out and say his shoulder is sore and he hurt his labrum, but that hit he took by Haynesworth and in that game, that had to scare the daylights out of every Patriots fan, and it's going to do so every time he gets hit. And he fell awkwardly in his shoulder. Now we're waiting. Not only can he be what he was, but is that another injury? Is that going to hurt him in his first couple of games? Because injuries like that don't go away right away, and they help you can't play, but they limit what you can do in a game. And, you know, Belichick's going to keep it close to the vest. Brady's not going to say anything because he's dying to play. But I think that's still a situation you got to keep an eye on in New England. And I was going to go with Brett Favre, but frankly, I've had enough. I think for every player in the league, the key, and guys, it's amazing. We're not talking about T.O., Cutler, Mark Sanchez, or Matthew Stafford here in these top three stories. Look, the labor issues have to be discussed. This is a big deal. The owners don't like that the players are getting 60% of the pot. The players don't want to give it back. There's not going to be a salary cap next year, and that's going to be a huge deal fantasy-wise.
And that's going to be sure to motivate those guys in contracts.
That's what I'm saying. And there's also not going to be – there's no ceiling, and there's not going to be a floor either. So if you want to spend nothing, you're going to be able to do it. I think that the NFL's parity is in huge trouble if they don't get something done, and I can't see it getting done.
I'm going to be an optimist here. I'm going to think that they're going to work things out.
This new NFLPA director, D. Maurice Smith, he seems like he's ready for war.
He's a litigator.
He's ready to rock, and he knows
he's
how to
actually not sure.
And they're not going to give in. Why would they give away what they had? It's the first thing they ever gained. Why would they want to give it back? I think that's going to, you know, In real football, it's going to have a big effect, but also in fantasy because teams are going to stack up.
Well, the story that I'm going to be paying attention to the most this season, maybe not the most, but I'll mention a story that we haven't discussed. That's the Houston Texans, okay?
Let's talk, baby.
You know, this is about the third or fourth season that they've been talked about, you know, as busting out, becoming that team that takes the next step. I'm, you know, tired of waiting for it to happen now. And quite frankly, all the pieces are intact. All the parts are there. It's time to do it. I like Gary Kubiak a lot. I think he's a very good coach. I think Matt Schaub can be a great quarterback if he stays healthy. I think Dan Orlovsky is actually a very capable filling guy if Schaub does miss his annual four games. They have a running back intact right now that they haven't had. They have the best wide receiver in the game, and they have a very above-average defense. So that's going to be
the team that's
waiting for. I think they're in the top 16 defenses.
I think the defense is a question mark.
I think they're in the top half of the league. And I also want to say, look, they're the Cardinals of 4 years ago, the team that everyone was saying, oh, this is the year.
Well,
you know what? A few years later, it was a year for them.
Well, I'll tell you what. If Matt Schaub stays healthy, Schaub to Andre Johnson is this year's version of Kurt Warner to Larry.
I had something on that later. But I'm telling you right now, if Matt Schaub plays 16 games, that's a 10-win team. I'm going to say it right now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are Fantasy Football Insiders. We are going to be here each and every week, Sunday mornings, 8:30 to 10 on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Bookmark that, okay? You know, we remixed it up for today's show. Moving things around, but next week we'll be here each and every week, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, each and every week, bringing you from week 1 to week 17. This is how we do it. Make sure you check out NFLDraftBible.com. You know, I got to say I'm proud of the staff at NFL Draft Bible, just like a content machine factory. There's so much information over there. You know, you can kiss your wife goodbye, go to the mall, I'll see you later. I'll spend all my time on NFL Draft.
Just the baby.
All right, guys. 347-945-6275 is the number if you want to call in. 347-945-6275. We're always taking questions. I want to give a shout out to Bink Rule, Ducket 2, our good buddy, longtime friend, ESPN 1420, shout out to them, Pudgeman 88, Rams fan, the boys, and a whole ton of guests. Get down in the chat room. It's now open. There's not much chatter going on, but I'm here for you if you need it.
Rick, did you just say TJ Ducket is in the chat room? He must have nothing else to do, brother.
Waiting right. patiently.
Guys, we're going to move on to the next topic, and that's three players to watch. And, Reverend, you do a column during the season, ones to watch for, as well as searching the scrap heap, which dissects some waiver wire situation each and every week. That'll be on the NFLDraftBible.com. Talk about some of the players to watch for this upcoming season.
Well, I have one value younger players. I'm going to start off here with Matt Leinart from the Cardinals. Warner's hip won't be fully recovered until the offseason, and if you've seen him out there so far, he looks like a 38-year-old man. Actually looks a little bit older than that. Doesn't look very mobile. He was never very mobile, but I'm worried about that hip. And let's remember, although he played 16 games last season, that was the first time since 2001 where he played a full season.
Well, so, he reinvented himself with that three-step drop, and
yeah.
I think now that there's tape on that and a whole offseason to prepare for it, I think teams are going to find a way to get a hit on there.
Sure.
You know, last season they didn't get to Warner. He reinvented himself with that three-step drop, but I think defenses are going to figure out a way this year.
That and his hip really worry me, so keep an eye on Matt Leinart. Also, keep an eye on Mr. Jermichael Finley. Aaron Rodgers actually called him indefensible after one practice during the summer. And if you saw him in his last preseason game against the Arizona Cardinals, this guy looked dynamite. He's one of those types of tight ends where you throw him a 4 or 5 yard pass, and after the catch, this guy could take it to the house. So look for the Green Bay Packers to set up with more two tight end formations and look for him to get the ball a lot more than last year. Yeah,
I agree.
The other guy here is James Davis for the Cleveland Browns.
Yes, sir.
I'm not telling you to overinvest in him, but maybe in the later rounds, 13th, 14th, maybe even 15th round, if he's there, take a look at this guy. Consider this guy. He looks a lot more explosive than Jamal Lewis. Had a nice 81-yard run versus the Detroit Lions a couple of weeks ago. To me, he's a nice stash and hope type of guy, and I think eventually – I think it looks like he might be the starter eventually for that team that's really going nowhere. So maybe around week 7, week 8, or even earlier when the Cleveland Browns are 1-6, maybe James Davis is going to get a chance to carry the rock and carry the load.
I think it happens before that. I think Lewis is shot. I think Davis is going to carry it.
I think James Davis is probably going to shine in game 1 coming off the bench, and I think by game 2, James Davis will be the starter in Cleveland.
Lewis,
this kid looks fantastic. And let's not forget, James Davis was the number one ranked senior running back by Bledsoe and National heading into the season last year before the college football season unfolded. But this kid was the number one ranked senior running back prospect, slid all the way down.
Terrible
to
quarterback.
Rounds. And now, you know, there's not much expectation, and he's coming out, lighting it up, catching the ball, running the ball. He's a poor man's Ray Rice.
And this is why you need to pay attention to the rookies in the preseason, because there are a lot of people out there that still don't know about James Davis. So this is where you swoop in, take him, and you might have a number 3 back on your roster.
And don't spend time talking about it before the draft. Don't let other people know. I went to a draft the other day. People were talking up James Davis before the draft, and then someone else kept their mouth shut and took him. Mm-hmm. And you just keep your mouth closed about James Davis.
Yeah.
He's one guy that I had at my ones to watch, and I'll tell you, there's two other ones, and I don't know, and last night and this weekend's games affect that, but Kevin Boss for the Giants, he seems to be the only person on that team who's able to catch the ball, made a very nice-looking catch. I haven't been that high on him until now, but now seeing what the Giants are going to trot out there.
50 catches, 40 to 50 catches for Mr. Boss.
And I think in the red zone.
I can see about 8 touchdowns.
I think the red zone, guys, because the Giants don't have a lot of guys with good hands.
Yeah.
And he's got a nice set of hands.
Where's our caller that was calling up about Travis Beckham?
Although, you know what? He's looked pretty good. Beckham's looked pretty good, but it ain't going to happen for him this season. And the third guy that I like, and I know he got banged up last night, and it's going to hurt this team more than people think, and that's Jarius Norwood. I'm not sure about the status of his injury, but we all know this 370 rule with Michael Turner. And if you look at Turner's stats as a per-rush basis, it really wasn't that impressive, as impressive as people think, I should say. But, look, I love Norwood. I have. I don't understand why they don't use him more. But I know he got banged up, but keep an eye on that injury. He could be underdrafted in your league, and I got to think that Atlanta's going to use him a lot more this season because Turner, you know, the rule of 370 is a rule for a reason because bats decline after that. There's an endless list of
them. Let me ask you something. He is a PPR monster, no doubt.
Yes.
Who would you rather have, though, Norwood or Leon Washington?
Wow. Two guys underutilized by their team, but the Jets – I'm going to go with Washington.
I'll take Washington.
I'm going to say Washington just because of the injury now to Norwood and also the injury to Sean Green.
Right.
I think also gives Leon Washington more touches.
But I'll tell you, if you're in a league that rewards for long touchdowns, you could do worse than either one of those guys.
Yeah.
They can both bring it from 80 yards or, you know, even further.
I want to throw a player out there, guys. You know, we didn't report it, but it's up on the NFL Draft Bible. Brian Leonard, I guess you guys saw it on Hard Knocks, is on the fringe of being cut by the Bengals. And, you know, that's disturbing to me. That's my boy. That's my guy. And now, you know, the Bengals actually sought him out in the offseason, traded for him. And he can't even beat out D.D. Dorsey. Concerning. But that kind of, you know, as Duckett, too, is chiming in, taking the words right out of my mouth. Bernard Scott, fellas.
Yeah.
You know, he slid all the way to the sixth round because of character issues. You know, we had him actually slotted for the fourth or fifth where we projected him. But can he legitimately take over for Cedric Benson?
Absolutely.
I don't see any reason why not. I've never been high on Benson. Look, Brian Leonard brings something to that team despite Dorsey's ability to bust off big runs, and he has performed well in the preseason, but Leonard isn't that kind of guy. He's the guy who can do everything well, just doesn't do anything great. And they have enough guys.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, you know what? He is. But he's going to bust his rear end every play, and quite frankly, that team can't get enough of guys like that.
Well, his inability to be effective in a short yardage situation is what doomed him in, from what I heard. Ralph, Bernard Scott, when does he take over for Cedric Benson?
I think maybe somewhere towards the middle of the season. You know, Bernard Scott does something that Cedric Benson cannot do, and that's make defenders miss. He's quick. He's elusive. He has home run hitting ability. So I think eventually the Bengals are going to get tired of Cedric Benson with his 3 yards in a cloud of dust. They're going to go with the young guy, the rookie Scott. He offers a ton more upside.
I think they split carries at best for Scott. I don't know if Lewis is the kind of coach with that imagination.
Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, this is how we do it. I'm Rick Servitello. I'm joined by the Daily Dose Boys, Reverend Ralph Mancini, Ross Adonis, Ross Mandel. These guys bring it to you each and every day on the NFL Draft Bible. Check that out. We're going to go into our next category, which is sponsored by Anna Nicole Smith. That is bust out players. And
Waka waka.
Hey now. We're going to talk about bust out players for the 2009 fantasy football season. We're going to start it off with Rostradamus. Let him shine up that big old crystal ball of yours. What do you see?
Well, as always, I see a big year for Matt Schaub. I think he's together and staying in the field all 16 games this year. He had 3,000 yards passing and 11 touchdowns and 11 starts last year. Is he an injury risk? Of course he is. But who isn't? Tom Brady missed the whole season last year. I think this is time. Schaub is going to be on the field every game. I think he's going to combine with, as Rick said, the best receiver in football. Apologies to Larry Fitzgerald. But Andre Johnson's better in my estimation. That duo is going to be almost as lethal as Brady and Moss in this year for the 2009 season. My second bust-out guy, the waiting for him, and I think the third year is going to be for Anthony Gonzalez in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's playing with Peyton Manning in an explosive offense, that more than his third season. You know, that third season is the charm rule. I'm going to go with the Peyton Manning rule over that. Plus, look, there's no Marvin Harrison. Although he wasn't producing, he's now gone. There's no shadow to play in there. I could see easily 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns from Anthony Gonzalez this season after 664 yards and 4 touchdowns last year. That is a bust out. Manning likes him. He's going to have 80 catches at least, I think. I like Anthony Gonzalez to have a bust out season in Indy. And my third guy, Rick, Don't want to steal it from you, but I got to do it. Rice-a-roni.
See Ray run.
The Rutgers treat, baby. Ray Rice in Baltimore.
Yes,
I know McGahee and McClain are still, but Rice has the combo of speed and power, and he has receiving ability, making him the best back in that crowded backfield.
Willis who?
Exactly, which isn't going to be that crowded for too long. Oh, and the Baltimore offensive line is also better than it was last year.
Right now, I've been saying it since 3 months ago, Ray Rice is going to be a top five fantasy football running back.
I think that might be a bit much, but I think he's going to have a heck of a season. And guys, I'll say it again, the Baltimore offensive line is going to be better this year than it was last year. He's getting the goal line carries, and if he continues to get those, he's going to score 10 touchdowns and maybe more. With at least, you know, I see 1,200 yards combined, rushing, receiving. I don't think that's a problem.
I see close to 1,600 total yards. I see over 60 catches for Ray Rice. I see over 15 total touchdowns.
Damn!
But I'm going to go over to the Reverend for his bust-out players. I'm going to get to some of the chat room questions. We're not forgetting about you.
Yeah.
Bust-out players.
That's the five. I'm on the same page with Ross on Ray Rice. He's the number one back in Baltimore, runs hard despite a lack of size, not worried about McGahee. The other guy that I like here is Kevin Smith from the Detroit Lions. He's not the most spectacular player out there, but I think this year he becomes a 1,200-yard back. I think he's the only reliable option in the backfield. He looks quicker and more elusive this year, and they have an improved offensive line out in Detroit, and he's beginning to improve as a wide receiver as well. The other guy is Donald Brown. I know he's only a rookie, but I think he's already better than Joseph Addai. He's a complete player with breakaway ability, so watch out for him.
I've been preaching that one since last September.
Rev, I got to tell you, I'm shocked you didn't. I left Devon Best for you.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, well, just bring him up.
I'm not
there
a big Dolphin fan, so I try not to endorse
those. I'll leave it to Rich. I knew one of you two would have him up there.
The hula hoop, Devon Best. That's exactly where I was going, Ross. I think Devon Best is going to emerge as a big-time playmaker. He is the Dolphins' deep threat, despite what you think with Ted Ginn Jr. on the roster. Devon Best is going to lead that team in receiving. He's already catapulted himself ahead of Greg Camarillo. And, you know, people were laughing at me in the Fantasy Sports Channel draft that Greg Kellogg and Mark Ronick put together when I took Devon Best with my last pick. And I heard all the criticism about taking Ray Rice and Darren McFadden way too high. And guess what? I'm going to get you. So there it is. There you have it.
Let me ask Rev one question. I happen to agree with you about Smith in Detroit. What impact will the quarterback decision have there? I mean, are they going to start Culpepper and then go to Stafford? Is Stafford going to sit the whole season? I mean, I don't know what's going on.
I think it looks as though Culpepper is going to start the year, and he might last about 4 or 5 games.
Press test dummy.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
They don't have an offensive line and tech like the Jets.
Well, in terms of pass protection, no, but I think their run blocking is going to be improved. And I could see Stafford taking over somewhere around maybe week 4, week 5.
Well, they have a week 7 bye.
Week 7. I could see him definitely stepping in after week 7.
That's a perfect opportunity to transition if Culpepper stays healthy that long.
Well, I look at it this way. You know, Detroit had a god-awful team, one of the worst teams of all time last year, and Smith still managed to rush for nearly 1,000 yards. I don't think I'm going out on a limb saying that he's going to rush for 1,200 this year.
Yeah, he looked good.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering if, you know, if there's a rookie quarterback in there, does he get more carries?
I'll tell you what, they both looked good, but Culpepper staying in his cage, he lost that weight and ability.
He looked decent.
Rolling around, moving out, throwing on the run. We got some other things we're going to address, but guys, I want to go over to the chat room for some questions. We discussed James Davis and Bernard Scott as rookie running backs who are flying under the radar. We had a question come in, who would you take first, or who has more fantasy value, Ross, Bernard Scott or James Davis?
Oh, I think James Davis does.
Ralph?
I agree, Davis.
Yeah, I would say that's universal all the way around. I go James Davis as well. Rams fan, good point. We say Davis by game 2, Bernard Scott by midseason. No Sean Moreno, we touched base on him a little bit earlier in the show, but since we have a couple people asking about the Denver running back situation real quick again, Ross, you're high on Moreno, me and Ralph not so much.
Yeah, I'm high on him. I just think it's a matter of opportunity.
And when do you think he's going to be starting by?
I think if not right away, I think a couple weeks, maybe week 3.
Ralph, are you in agreement Moreno's the starter there? If so, by what week?
I think he's a starter from the get-go.
If he was healthy, he'd be starting.
But he's going to have to share the load with others.
And who's getting the goal line carries here? Is it Buckhalter? Is it, you know?
You also have Lamont Jordan Buckhalter there.
And I'm not buying Jordan. I'm not buying Buckhalter. It's Hillis and Marino to me.
I'll tell you what. I'm not going to count out Lamont Jordan just yet. He looked really good last season on his limited action. And he dropped 30 pounds in the offseason. And he even came out and said this is the first offseason that he actually paid attention to his conditioning and offseason regime. I think that goes a long way. And I think Lamont Jordan, I'm not ready to count him out yet. I do think Moreno is going to be good. I just don't think he's going to come into the league and take the league by storm like Adrian Peterson. I think it's going to be more like Darren McFadden, where he may need a transition year and bumps in the bruises.
Look, somewhere in between those.
In any event, if you're taking a Denver Broncos running back, these are all guys you're going to take at the bottom of the draft. As far as Denver is concerned, all their offensive players are guys you want to take at the bottom of your draft, with the exception of Eddie Royal. That's the one Denver Bronco I want on my team. Everybody else, I can do without.
I'm not as down on Denver offensively as you guys.
ESPN 1420 must be a St. Louis affiliate asking about Randy McMichael. No love for Randy McJackson. He made a funny comment that he looks like Randy Jackson, but Randy McMichael, guys. I know, Rev, you're that's one of your...
Call me back when he gets the quarterback.
It's the American Idol, buddy. I think you guys are more down on the on a lot of teams.
Well,
but
does Randy McMichael have fantasy value for you, Ross?
Yes. Yes. I take, you know, bye week injury filling. I don't think he's going to be terrible by any means. I think, you know, you pick him the right week, I think he can produce for you.
Yeah, he has value maybe in a 50-team league.
No, I don't agree. I don't agree.
All right, guys. This is Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. Each and every week, Sunday morning, Fantasy Sports Channel, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Rick Serratella, Ralph Mancini, Ross Mandel. Say that three times fast. We're going to get into Under the Radar Guys. We talked about Under the Radar signings. We're going to talk about Under the Radar Guys, how it applies to players that we like, not necessarily studs, but guys that, you know, we personally like, maybe guys that we'll take with the last pick like a Devon Best. I'm going to lead it off with the good Reverend Ralph Mancini, straight out of church. Preach to us, baby.
I want to go with two receivers and one running back. Number one receiver is Justin Gage from the Tennessee Titans. We saw him last night make a beautiful catch in a tight spot. Look, Kerry Collins has the utmost confidence in Justin Gage. He will throw him the ball early, often on big plays and in the end zone, taking advantage of his 6'4 height. So don't sleep on Justin Gage. He missed four games last season and still caught six touchdowns. I see him having close to 10 touchdowns this year. And what about Mr. Nate Burleson, Nate Dogg in Seattle with the Seattle Seahawks? This guy, he had an injury last year, came back, is looking as explosive as ever.
I like him more than Houston Crowder.
Yeah. And, you know, the one thing that I love about Nate Burleson is once you throw him the ball, whether it's a 3-yard pass or a 30-yard pass, this guy has a nose for the end zone. He's one of the best receivers out there at running with the ball after the catch. And then finally, I'm going to go with the running back here, and that's Mr. Fast Freddie Jackson from the Buffalo Bills. I do not like Marshawn Lynch. Forget about the fact that he's missing the first three games of the season due to his suspension. Marshawn Lynch, he must be exchanging notes with Lawrence Maroney because he's another guy who's not hitting the hole. He's dancing around a little much. And Fred Jackson is the complete opposite of that. He's a north-south runner. He catches the ball. He's a big back at 6'1", 215. So I like him better than Marshawn Lynch.
They have Rhodes up there, too.
They do have Dominic Rhodes, yeah.
We'll see what happens. You know, there's going to be four games where there's going to be an audition up in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Is it four or three?
Ryan Grant type situation, maybe?
Possibly.
Before you get into your guys, yeah. I mean, that's an interesting player, Fred Jackson. I mean, what's your take on
it? I had him on my team last year, and I'm telling you, the guy can produce fantasy numbers, whether it's running the ball or receiving the ball. And I think with Lynch gone there for a few games, he's got to be looking at it, you know what? If I play really well and we're 3-0, they can't get me out of the lineup. So I think the first three games is his audition for serious playing time.
All right, Ross, before we get into your guys, Ralph, you brought up Nate Burleson. We got a Nate Burleson quest for you. This guy needs to replace Nate Washington. Should he go with Nate Burleson, Chris Henry, or Justin Gage?
I think I would roll the dice here with Chris Henry.
Those guys are free agents?
Well, we don't know this type of league.
Yeah, all right.
I think I would roll the dice here with Chris Henry only because I think he's playing with the best quarterback out of those
three
players.
But he's the number
three
receiver on his team, isn't he?
Yeah, but if you're in a touchdown league, though.
Justin Gage is the number one guy. I think Kerry Collins has thrown for 3,500 yards this year. And
you think he's better than Carson Palmer?
Kerry Collins?
I'm going with Chris Henry.
Yeah, I'm going with Chris
Henry.
And I love all three receivers, by the way.
Yeah, shocked that those are the guys. I like them better than Nate Washington right now.
Well, I'm going to go with Justin Gage just because, you know, if I want a guy, I want a number one wideout. I don't want a number three wideout. I don't care how prolific the offense is. It's a non-PPR league. So, okay, maybe Chris Henry does have added value there.
Right.
But still, Justin Gage, I think, is good for 1,000 yards. 6 to 7 touchdowns, where Chris Henry, I think Chris Henry's ceiling is 800 yards, 6 touchdowns. Nate Burleson is a boomer, you know, boomer bust, risk-reward guy.
Yeah, too risky.
I think Justin Gage there is the most reliable guy because he's the number one guy, and I think a big year from Kerry Collins. Big year.
Yeah, because of Kenny Britt, who's going to be the number one there after week four.
Not the rookie.
You watch.
All right, let's get into your favorite guys, Ross. The three guys under the radar that you like.
We already touched on rookie James Davis. Look, the guy's got, I think, over 7 yards a carry in the first 3 preseason games. And I've seen this. Jamal Lewis, as bad as he looked last year, he looks like he's running underwater this year. He cannot last. There's no way Jamal Lewis is the starter after the fourth week of the season for the Cleveland Browns. It's just not going to happen. Davis has been running with the frame, and he busted off a long run, I think 81 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw someone out of the Cleveland Browns backfield bust out an 80-yard run, unless it was Josh Cribbs running some gimmick play? Look, Davis has home run capability. We've said it before. I think he's a guy to grab late in your draft. Another guy I like late in the draft who hasn't lived up to expectations, but again, the third year might be the charm for him, and that's Sidney Rice in Minnesota. I'm not high in the quarterback situation, but I love Sidney Rice coming out of college, and I know he struggled, but I think he's going to – look, maybe he and what's his name, the quarterback up there, are going to develop some kind of a chemistry because that's what's been lacking with Tavares Jackson and the other receivers up there. And even if it's Sage Rosenfels, who, Rick, I think has a better chance to start for that team than Jackson when Favre goes out. I think Sidney Rice is going to have a decent year, whomever the quarterback might be. And my last guy, sleeper, Carolina running back, Mike Goodson. Look, Turf Toe Johnny, as we like to call him, is already dinged up.
Yes, he is.
And you know D'Angelo Williams isn't going to be running every single play. He works better with a complimentary back. And right now, and Stewart's injury is not just a turf toe, it's an Achilles. And that is, you know,
I think Jonathan Stewart's season is a major.
I agree with you.
Becoming a huge concern.
And you know, when Coach Fox comes out and says that Goodson has earned more than just a spot role, the writing's on the wall there, both for the Stewart injury and for Goodson's role on that team. He's quick. He's versatile. He has a little bit of power. He's a perfect late round pick. And if Stewart stays hurt, you're going to get a tremendous payoff from Goodson.
That's bad news for Nick Goings.
Hey,
you mentioned the rookie running back, Goodson. I want to talk about another one real quick. That's Glenn Coffey in San Francisco.
Impressive.
You know, is this guy going to be in the mix? Does he actually – I think he may actually increase Frank Gore's fantasy value.
I agree.
Keeping his legs fresh. What do you guys make of Glenn Coffey?
He's faster than I remember him being in college. That's all I know.
I always thought he was a big play type of back, very elusive. Look, I could see maybe a 70-30, 75-25 type of split there. In
perfect for Gore.
Okay, another question coming in, guys. Derek Ward, PPR league, you know, before after round four, as far as getting
way after.
Don't buy into the hype on Ward.
And the comment is you know, aren't they going to throw to him when they're down by 20? Aren't they going to do these thinking back Wards?
Yeah, but they have three backs to do that with. And they also have Clifton Smith coming off the bench, too.
Winslow, I mean, I don't like anyone on Tampa Bay's offense. Who's, you know, Derek Ward is being way overdrafted. If you want him on your team, that's great. But he's not worth a fourth-round pick at all, in my mind.
Okay, I got a couple guys that I'm going to give you. And, you know, just so you get some perspective on it, you know, I play in a dynasty league. We got about 12, 14 teams, 31-man rosters. you know, contracts and all that good stuff. So we do an auction style type of draft.
Laurent Robinson.
You know, here's some of the players I was able to grab, and I'm going to start off with Big Bad Ahmad Bradshaw.
Love
this guy runs like an uncaged animal, and I can tell you this: when Brandon Jacobs goes down this season, Ahmad Bradshaw is built like a tank. This guy's going to carry a rock 20 plus times. He's going to have a stretch run of 3 or 4 games in a row. When Jacobs gets injured, mark my words, Ahmad Bradshaw will be one of the most productive players when he starts this season.
Yeah, I think he's a great guy to have on your team. Even when Jacobs is healthy, he's still going to be able to produce fantasy numbers.
You say when Jacobs gets hurt. When will he get hurt?
I think, you know, he's going to get hurt sometime in the midseason.
Is he going to play about 12, 14 games?
He's going to play 12 times.
You don't know when
about
they are.
Week 12, he's going to get hurt. He's going to miss 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay, let me ask you this. Who would you rather draft? Would you rather have Steven Jackson or Jacobs on your team?
I'd rather have Steven Jackson.
I think I'd rather have Jacobs.
I'm leaning towards Jacobs because no matter how many games he misses, he's still good for double-digit touchdowns.
That's right.
But he's sharing. Steven Jackson isn't sharing.
But they're going to be 8-man fronts on Steven Jackson.
Well, Steven Jackson has no quarterback, and the offensive line isn't the same than the one that they have in New York.
No, it's not. But his fantasy numbers will be better than Brandon.
I don't like Steven Jackson's durability. I mean, at least Jacobs, I know he's going to get hurt, but I know he's going to get double.
By the way, did you know that Steven Jackson missed more games than Brian Westbrook has 2 seasons?
Yes,
look it up.
Because I always look it up to counter Brian Westbrook comment.
Well,
although he's right this year.
Well, speaking of Brian Westbrook,
he's done.
I think here's a guy, here's a situation where Westbrook was always the guy getting those touchdowns inside the red zone, down around the goal line. I think this year that role shifts to Leonard Weaver. Because they don't want Westbrook to get all dinged up, piled on in those goal line runs. I think Leonard Weaver in a touchdown lead, can produce 6 to 8 touchdowns just off of goal line duties alone.
He's this year's T.J. Duckett. Is that what you're saying? I've loved Westbrook. He's won me very many fantasy leagues, but I'm staying away from him this year. I think he's one more injury away from being done.
Well, Leonard Weaver, any fantasy value there? I think with the last pick in his draft, there's a guy who stands on your bench, and he's shown some flashes.
Yeah, but
I like him, but the thing with Philadelphia is that sometimes it's hard to predict what Mr. Andy Reid wants to do. Yeah, if you want to pick him up,
he doesn't run the football.
Yeah, if you want to pick him up with your 16th, 17th pick, fine. I could see him maybe having a couple of token touchdowns here and there, but he's not a guy I would count on. I could see him maybe having maybe 4 or 5 touchdowns, but, you know, again, I don't know what direction Reid is going to go in. He might go with McCoy. He might go with Westbrook. There are a number of ways. He might even actually go with Michael Vick in the backfield. You never know.
I'll give you one last guy that you can, you know, I was able to snag him up for a dollar. Brad Cottom, the tight end out of Kansas City, replacing Tony Gonzalez. This guy's a big red
zone target. Yeah, I kind
of
like that.
Has a good pair of hands. I'm not telling you he's your starting tight end for fantasy football, but I'm telling you Brad Cottom is a guy, a good backup tight end for your fantasy
team. Bi-week filler.
Yeah, bi-week filler.
Yeah.
A guy in, and he's always going to be a red zone target. I like Brad Cottom.
I don't think I've ever carried 2 tight ends at the same time on my fantasy team.
Well, at some point, there's going to be a bi-week or an injury.
Right.
There's a guy. He's a guy I like.
All right. You know what? Stash him. And you know what? If you think about it, how many other options they have in Kansas City other than Buff?
Well, that's
and Jamaal Charles.
All right, guys, we don't have much. I don't want your analysis. We're going to have a little fun with it. Super Bowl predictions. Just give me your 2 teams, who's winning, and why. 30 seconds or less, each of you. Start off with Ross.
Green Bay, New England.
Wow.
Green Bay, New England. Rematch. I definitely think we're going to see a rematch Super Bowl this year. You know, Giants, New England, or something like that. But I like Green Bay this year. I love Aaron Rodgers. Love that offense. I think Brady for New England is going to get back to where he was or at least approach it. And, you know, I don't trust San Diego. If coach San Diego, I would take San Diego, but he doesn't. And North Turner, you're no Bill Belichick.
New York Giants 30, Tennessee Titans 17. I think the New York Giants have the best offensive line, the best front 4 on defense, and I think they're going to get that receiver situation worked out. I think Nix is going to establish himself as the best receiver on that team. Look for the Giants to get their second Super Bowl in 3 years.
I also like the Tennessee Titans, and I'm going to throw a wild card out there. I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, come on now!
Hey, who picked the Arizona Cardinals last year? I'm going to go with the 49ers, and that's my wild card, and that's my Super Bowl prediction. And for Rick Saratella, Ralph Mancini, Ross Mandel, we are the Fantasy Football Insiders. We'll be back at it again next week, starting at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, exclusively on the Fantasy Sports Channel. You definitely want to check us out. Week 1 to Week 17 grind. Get that polish out. It's time to shiny up the ring.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble! Welcome to the big show.
A couple of tackles. And look at him go! And look at him go! He could!